Okay, so one of the scriptures I chose to look at, and there'll be other scriptures we'll talk about also, is Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So, again, like I say, I really want us to really open our hearts and really listen to what God is speaking to you. And there may be one word or one verse or one thing that stands out that God is speaking to your heart. And so as we slow down and we come before the Lord and we listen to what God is saying, really want us to open our hearts and be listening to what he's saying. He says that we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. And that song was so good because, you know, we belong to God. God is a creator. We are his creation. And yet, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in my world and what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish and what my goals are in life. And I'm not saying we can't do that to a certain extent, but we have to keep everything in focus. And a couple words I like to focus on, words. Words are a big thing. And I think in the day and age in which we live right now, probably the biggest word for me that stands out more than anything else is urgency. The urgency in the time that we live. I mean, there's an urgency about the gospel, and I'm going to talk about that, about the gospel. But, we are his handiwork. We belong to God. And I love what Oswald Chambers said. He said, "Jesus Christ is always unyielding to my claim, to my right, to myself." And it's so easy because we live in the flesh. Hey, I'm somebody. I have rights. I should be able to do these things. And and it's so easy for self and the flesh to rise up in us. And we have to be victorious over the flesh. And it's a lifelong process in doing that because we belong to God. Paul talks about, we are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For we are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Which are God's. We belong to God. And so my question is do we live that way? Do we live like we belong to God? Do we live like we've been purchased? And with the blood of Jesus Christ, not just anything, we've been purchased with the blood of Christ. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And we need to focus on these things. And that's one of the other words, the urgency, which I'm going to talk a little more about, because of the times we live in, because of the things we face in our world, there's an urgency. But also, another thing is the focus. What are we focused on in life? What is my focus? And I like what John the Baptist says, and I get it, he wasn't talking, but he said, "I must decrease and he must increase." I do read a lot of Oswald Chambers because he's always talking about self-sacrifice. He's always talking about how it's about God. It's not about me. I love that because I believe that's what Scripture is saying to us, that I must decrease. He must increase. Christ must increase in my life. He must be Lord of my life. And that's what we're called to be. That's who we are called to be. That's who we are because we've been purchased by the blood of Christ. And so we need to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit, which are God's. Okay? Paul says he is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's pretty heavy duty, if you ask me. I mean, if I could only grasp a small portion of that, what it's like to be a bondservant and to actually live that way, to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ, is, you know, that's where we're starting to go from the milk to the meat of the Word of God. To being somebody who comes to church on Sunday to someone who lives it out every day of the week. That's what we're talking about. The difference that we are called to be bondservants. Christ came as a servant. He came to serve, but he's coming back as a conquering king. Praise God. And it says we will reign with him. How great is that? That's our future. That's what we have. We have to rise above all this world and all the things and the cares of this world and keep our focus on what God is calling us to do. We are his workmanship. We belong to him. And so we need to start acting and living that way and not be distracted by these things. There's so many distractions, especially in this day and age. And I get caught up in it too. I'm just like anybody else. I get caught up in the world. It's easy to do. And he goes on to say that created in Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so the scripture says that if you are a believer, if you are born again, if you are bought by the blood of Christ, you're a new creation. That's who we are, a new creation. So we don't want to go back and live like the old creation, like we used to live. Excuse me. Walk in the flesh. We walk in the spirit now because we've been born again. You see, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were enemies to God. But we've been born again. We've been born in the Spirit. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we have to start living that way. And we have to start maintaining our focus on what this world is really about. It's not about Jeff's kingdom. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Let me tell you, I'm going to say it a lot when I'm up here, because I think that's very real what we face. The flesh will never give up. It is constantly there at our door saying, you know, give to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm this. I'm that. The flesh. We have to rise above that. We are dead. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we have to start living that way. So I want to challenge myself first and foremost above all else, because I am no different than you, and I need it as much as anybody else. And, you know, it says, for the message of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's pretty heavy duty too. That it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But for us, it's the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We have hope and we have a future. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that too. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And, you know, I say all things are created for Jeff, but that's not what it says. It's for him. We were created for him, for his purposes. And that's what we need to get a hold of. It's not my kingdom. It's thy kingdom come. And it's so, again, we live in a fallen world. We are faced with these things all day long, every single day. And so we're a new creation. We're created to do good works. Okay? And so I thought about this, and, you know, I mean, we could talk about works, and there's a lot of things that we could talk about when it comes to works. But one of the things that I really want to focus on, and it goes back to that urgency of the times that we live in, the urgency is there. And I think that the works that I want to focus on this morning is Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye all into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no gooder work than the gospel. And we can't say it enough. We live in this world that is perishing, that is dying. People are dying every day and going to hell. And what am I doing about it? You know, and God challenged my heart, and God's challenging me, and I pray that He challenges you too, to get our focus right and what this life is really about. Because people are perishing, and we need to get a hold of that. We need to be about the gospel. We need to be about telling people, going out, and not just telling. There's more to this, I really believe, and so I want to talk about that too, but really, really focus on what is my mission in life. I need to be out telling people, and not just telling people, but living it out each and every day, because the world's watching. If I tell you that, hey, you need to accept Jesus and you really need to be a good Christian, but I'm living like the devil, what? That's going to fall on deaf ears. And so we have to live it out. If I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to tell you about Jesus, I better be living it out myself. Amen. You should be able to look at my life and say, Jeff, you know, and I'm not perfect by any stretch, and I know you aren't either. We're not going to do it all right. We're not going to do it perfectly. But we strive to do that. We strive to be a witness for Jesus and a witness of Jesus. This is what Jesus looks like. My favorite story, and I'm sure I've told it before, but I'm going to tell you again, so bear with me. But translators in, and I can't remember what country it was, but Wycliffe Bible translators, the story goes that they needed a translator. They need someone who knows the language of the people and someone who knows English. And so this husband and wife team, and I can't remember if it was the wife or the husband. I think it was, it was a husband. He became a translator, and he was helping the translators translate the Bible from the common language into our English to their language so that they could have the scriptures. And the wife was not a believer. But after years of translating the Bible and her being part of this and seeing what the scripture says and everything, finally one day she gave her heart to the Lord and she became a believer. And the missionary says, well, why it took so long? What was it about the scripture that caused you to turn your life around and to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And what she said was totally awesome. She said, this Jesus guy that's in the Bible is just like my husband. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is this guy like that Jesus, she thought Jesus was like her husband. And what the truth is, her husband was living it out every day. He's being Jesus to the world. And she recognized that. And when she learned who Jesus was, she said, this Jesus guy is just like my husband. Oh, that I could be guilty of that. To be just like Jesus. Oh my goodness. What you could not label someone any better than that. I love that story. I want to be guilty of being like Jesus. That's what I pray that we focus on in our lives, to be more like Jesus. The Bible says that God is conforming us to the image of His Son. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to look like Jesus. Trust me, there's plenty of counterfeits out there. They're everywhere. They're portraying Jesus, God, the Bible, for everything but what it is. And we have to be vigilant, be sober, and get a hold of the truth of God's Word, that we be Jesus, the real Jesus, the true Jesus, the truth. I'm going to talk a little of that, about the truth, to the world, because they're watching. They're watching. And I want to make sure that I be Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, to this fallen, dark world that we live in, especially with the urgency that we have today with the things that are going on. So the gospel. And I say it 100 years from now, what's going to matter? My job, my car, my house, my family. The only thing that matters is the gospel. Do I know Jesus or did I not? That's all that matters. Nothing matters. The things that we care about, the things that we're... And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we can't care about things in life and we have works that we're supposed to be. Yes, of course we are. But the gospel is number one. Jesus Christ is what life is about. And we need to be about that. We need to be a witness to this world, this lost and dying world. It's about the gospel. And we need to be proclaiming that. We are the ones, we're it. It's us. Amen. If we don't do it, who's gonna? Amen. Who else is gonna? If I don't share the gospel to my neighbor, who else is gonna tell him? Oh, maybe somebody else will tell him. Maybe? How sad is that? Look, I'm challenging myself as I stand up here. I'm challenging myself to do more, to go to that next level, because that's where God is always drawing us closer to Him, deeper into the light, that next level. And the gospel is number one. We need to be out, and especially with what's taking place in our world today, we need to be out telling people the good. What is the gospel? The good news of the gospel. God loves you. Jesus died for you. You can have eternal life. That's what we need. And it seems like there's this disconnect when it comes to that. It's like, yeah, I should probably say something to this guy, but man, help us. God, pray for boldness to be willing to stand up. And I'll stand up for Jesus. I've told you my testimony. God called me as a little boy, 8, 9 years old, I remember. God called me and He said, will you stand up for me? Will you stand up for Jesus? And I stood up for Jesus, and I've never been the same. And we're constantly being challenged every day as we go out into the world, the highways and the byways. Stand up for Jesus. Make a stand. Say a kind word. Be Jesus to the world. Let them see. God will always bring opportunities. God will always bring opportunities. And I want to go into this a little bit where Paul, and I shared this with the guys, they're going to hear it again, but anyway, I shared it at men's Bible study, and it's 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, serving all men. He says, Paul, and I love Paul's heart. Paul's heart is so great, because this is what he said. Listen to what he says here. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. He says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might win some. Imagine that attitude that says that I'm going out into the world and I will be and I will do whatever I have to do if it means that people will be won to Jesus. I will be what I need to be, who I need to be, if that means someone might hear the gospel, someone might be won to the Lord, their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, we have this opportunity, and that's one of my words too, opportunity. We have this opportunity to share the gospel with the world. What are we doing with that? What am I doing with that? I have a neighborhood. I have people I don't even really know. Am I concerned about their salvation? I have family members. Do I talk to them? Am I praying for them? Am I being a light to them? Am I being a witness to them? Are they a priority? Is the gospel number one in my life? Am I like Paul saying that I will do whatever I have to do that some may come to know Christ as their Savior? Oh my goodness, we have such an opportunity. And the urgency, I believe, is there. I believe it is. We look at our world. Look at it. I don't have to tell you. The urgency is there. We need to be about God's business. We have work to do. God has work for us to do. And I believe the first and foremost, because we're all called to share. And you can say, well, I'm not good at it. You know, I'm not Billy Graham. I can't go out and do that. Yes, you can. Pray that God give you the boldness to be able to speak to people. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to give us the words anyway. So we have the Holy Spirit. God didn't leave us. Okay, yeah, now you're saved. Okay. We have the Holy Spirit who can speak in and through us. And He's the one who's going to draw all people to God. We are just the vessels that are used by Him. But we have to say, I'll go. I'll go out. I'll proclaim the gospel. I'll proclaim the good news. I'll reach out to people. I'll love people. I will be Jesus. I will be like Paul. I will be any and everything I can be that if I may win some. Amen. And trust me, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. I need this as much, if not more than you do. I need to be challenged because the urgency, again, I believe, is there. You know, you say, well, it's okay because there's plenty of time. Is there? Is there plenty of time? Is there really? I don't know. My time may end today. God could call me home right after this or right now. I don't know. The Lord could come. There's a million things that could happen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. I don't know. For me, it may not. For you, it might, but it may not for me. I don't know. Jesus could come. I believe He's standing at the door. He is ready to come. And it's only because of His grace that He tarries. He loves us so much that He tarries because He knows there's people that still haven't come in to the kingdom. He tarries because of His love and His grace and His mercy. That's why He tarries. We say, God, the world's so bad. It's so bad. Why don't you come now? It's His grace. It's His grace that prevents Him from coming. Because He said, nope, there's more people. More people are coming. More people are coming. I need to be out there. I need to be that guy that's telling people about Jesus. Because this world is going to end. If we know anything, we know that. This world will end. I guarantee you. The Bible says it will. It will end. God is not a liar, if he's anything. And another thing I just wanted to... because we live in this age of distraction and all these things, it's just... I mean... Again, the urgency is, I believe, is there. And I've said this about the end times, and I'm sure I've shared this before, about I really believe that what signals the end times more than anything else is not the evil. Evil's been here since Adam and Eve. The devil's always there. The evil's always been with us. But it's the deception. The deception out there. It says there's coming a great deception. People are going to be deceived. And we see that in our world so prevalent today. They're deceived. They don't know. And that's why our urgency to share the gospel with them, it needs to be so much more for my life than it's been in the past. I'm challenging myself. I really believe that God's saying, Jeff, you need to step out of your comfort zone and your little home that you got all to, and go out and preach the gospel, proclaim the good news, and reach out and look for those opportunities, reaching out to people. Again, the urgency is there. He says, God has prepared these works for us to do in advance. Wow, God is pretty cool. This is about God. Look, this is always about God. The Bible is always about God. What is the Bible? What do we learn in Awana? What does the Bible say? It tells us who God is. It tells us who we are. It tells us what sin is. It tells us who Jesus is. It tells us we need a Savior. All these things. This is about God. God prepared works for us in advance to do. And I believe, again, there's a lot of things we could go into about works and stuff like I was saying before, but I believe in this day and age that we need to focus on the gospel. That needs to be where our hearts and minds are at. And sure, God's going to use us, and we're going to be doing the things. We're going to be working out in the here and at church and Awana and skate church, and all these things are great. And we don't want to not do that anymore. But we need to focus on that urgency of the gospel. This is what's important, first and foremost. Because what do I have if I don't have Jesus? What if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? What is that? I have nothing without Jesus. And so we need to remember, when we look at our neighbors and we look at the people that are around us and we come in contact, do they know Jesus? We go to the fair and we'll sit there and we just kind of watch people, and I think about, I wonder what their life is like. Do they know Jesus? Are they saved? Or are they on the road to destruction? Wow. And I think it's a matter of just having a heart for the gospel. God, give us a heart for the gospel, for people that are perishing. God, I pray for myself first and foremost, above all else. God gives us purpose. We have purpose. The world does not have purpose. It's like, what do you got? Oh, you collect all these toys, you get this, make all this millions and billions of dollars, and then you die. That's it. What is the purpose? We have purpose. We have what works to do that God has set before that we should do. We have a mission, and that's the gospel first and foremost. We have purpose. The world doesn't have purpose. I can't imagine being in the world and not and just looking at life. Okay, so And now I'm there. I got the job. I got the money. I got the fame. I got the fortune. Now what? We don't say that because we have purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God first and foremost, to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. You know, God has a plan for our life. And that plan involves, and you know, I'm harping on it, I'm telling you, because God's harping on us, on our hearts, that we need to be more purposeful and more deliberate in our walk in this day and age. So I'm challenging myself first, before I want to challenge anybody else, to be Jesus to the world. You know, we're told that to pray, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. Is that just saying, well, your kingdom come? I'm not part of that. It's not my job. I don't need to do that. It is my job to help bring that. And we do that by preaching the gospel, proclaiming the good news. It says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why is that? Why is that? Jeff, what are you doing? What are you doing? Ricky always says, the one thing I remember about Jeff, I always remember, is he always said, what about you, Jeff? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Always bring it home first. What am I going to do? God's not concerned about my wife, what she did, or, you know, what he said or he did, or, you know, my kids or anything. I know what they did. What are you going to do, Jeff? How do you respond? What are you doing to usher in my kingdom? We pray that. I hope we do. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Because it's about God, not about me. I have to get on board with what God is doing, not my kingdom come. What am I doing? Where is my focus? It's so, so important that we get a hold of this, that we allow God to speak to our hearts and challenge us each and every day. I pray that God will do that. And we need to be out. We need to be deliberate and be making disciples. You know, we have opportunities. We just have to be looking for those. We have to be, again, sober, be vigilant. And one last thing I was going to share is Philippians 4:8, and I'm sure a lot of you know it. And I'm not going to go in, I'm just going to briefly go through this. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, noble high principles, whatever things are just, behaving according to what is morally right and fair, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, free from anything of a different kind, inferior. And I'm giving these definitions of these just real quick as I go through this. Because I think it's important. There's another part of this I just want to touch on. Whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. And I believe that part of what the good works that we do, that God has set before to work in, also involves our minds, not just the works that we do. I believe that it's in our mind and in our heart, if you will, taking control of our minds and our hearts. What do I think about every day? Am I meditating on the Word of God? Am I meditating on these things? And what's the very first thing that he says? Whatsoever is true. Man, I could talk about that for a long time. Because we deal with so many things in life that are they true? Am I dealing with the truth? Or, well, it could be. It's a possibility. It might be. Well, it could happen. It might be. Is it true? The Bible is true. Jesus is the truth. And that needs to be our focus. Whatsoever is true. So we need to not only, you know, be out doing the works, the gospel, spreading the good news, but we need to also be challenging ourselves to bring into captivity. This is one of my favorite scriptures. He says, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. You see, Paul was willing to be whatever he needed to be to share the gospel, to win some. And even to the point of bringing every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Wow! Who does that? I mean, I hope that we do. I hope that I do. That I need to challenge myself. Everything needs to be brought under Christ's submission. Every thought. What is my thought life like? You see, we control our thoughts to a certain extent. We control what we allow. Things come into my mind and say, no, no. I'm in control of what I allow my mind to think about. We have that responsibility as believers to control that. We have to take these things captive. Otherwise, they'll just fly and they'll just go. And if we don't take control of that, it'll just run rampant. And so we have to be deliberate. We have to be deliberate in the work that we do, in the preaching of the gospel, and we have to do it in our own personal lives, in our hearts, and in our minds, bringing into captivity. And with that, I'm just going to close. I said it'd be short, and so I want us to really focus on what God, and when you leave here, if you would, like I will too, ask myself, what did God speak to me about? Where is God challenging my life? What do I need to work on in my life? What is it that I need to do? How can I do the work that God has set before that I should walk in? How can I do that? How can I be deliberate in that? So I know that I'm going to challenge myself to go to that next level, to look for those opportunities. You know, I belong to God. And do I live like that? I have to ask myself, do I live like that? Am I like Paul? I'm willing to be all things to all people, that in some ways I might win some. Am I created in Christ Jesus, a new creation? Do I live that way? Is that how I'm living? The gospel. The gospel. How important is the gospel in your life? Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you get a hold of our hearts, God, that you challenge us to be a light in this world of darkness, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to do the work that you have set before that we should walk in. And we know that work involves being light and salt and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And I pray, God, if there's someone here who is not born again, who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I pray that they will cry out to you in their heart right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. God, speaking to your heart, only you know this is between you and God. It's not between me and you or anybody else. My wife, my husband, this is between you and God. God is speaking to your heart. I've never accepted Jesus, but I feel God speaking to my heart. God is drawing me to Himself. Will you answer that call? I did at 9 years old. And if God is speaking to your heart, I pray that you will answer that call and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I believe. Yes, I receive. Yes, I confess my sins. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be that person that's going to go out and tell others about Christ and what He's done for me. Praise His holy name. Bless each one of us and our families as we go out, God. Give us a new vigor and hope as we go out into this world to be bold to claim the gospel, the good news. We thank you for it. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.